Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, listeners, first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus, and it's the Ideal Muslimah. Today, we will be focusing on a Muslim woman accepts the will and the decree of Allah and also turns to Allah in repentance, often, inshallah. And that will be followed by Socially Speaking with Maulana Mohammed Venka from KwaZulu-Natal. And our discussion today is on the importance of family ties, a very, very pertinent topic, inshallah. And yeah, we'll be looking at the consequences of neglecting and severing family ties, which happens so often these days in our communities. And, you know, also the unity in family, how to actually maintain family unity. Very, very important for us. You know, we take it so lightly these days, and we find people, you know, for little things, breaking off family ties, but they don't realize how important it is for us to keep the family ties intact, inshallah. So we'll be talking about that a little later in the program. For now, it's back to the Ideal Muslimah, and we're going to be looking at a Muslim woman should accept the will and the decree of Allah, and she should also, inshallah, turn to Allah in repentance often. The greatest signs of faith, obedience, taqwa, and righteousness in a Muslim woman is when you are obedient to the command of Allah and you naturally accept His will and His decree. So if you just naturally accept this, and you know, you just, no matter how difficult a situation you are in, and you know that this comes from Allah, and we need to accept it, and, you know, be patient and persevere, then you, that is one of the greatest signs of faith, obedience, taqwa, and righteousness, inshallah. So the Muslim woman who is guided by the teachings of Islam will always accept whatever befalls her in life, whether it is good or whether it's bad. Because if you have this kind of attitude of acceptance, it is good for you in all cases. The Prophet ﷺ actually explains this, and he says, how amazing is the affair of the Muslim. His affairs are all good. If he experiences ease, he is grateful, and that is good for him. If he experiences hardship, he faces it with patience and perseverance, and that is also good for him. So it's always a win situation in both instances. You know, whether you're going through a difficult time, no matter what kind of difficulty you are going through, if you can accept it and you know that this, even this difficulty has come from Allah, it is a test on me, and how I persevere and how I accept it very patiently, inshallah, that is going to be good for me. You will be rewarded for it. And of course, when something good comes your way and you make shukr and you once again you thank Allah for it, then that is also good for you. So in both instances, we win. So that's what we as Muslims should always remember. The Muslim woman is convinced that whatever befalls her in life could not have been avoided, and whatever does not befall her could not have been, you know, have been made to happen. Everything happens according to the will and the decree of Allah. So her affairs are all good. If something good happens to her, she voices her praise to Allah. So you praise Allah for it, you thank Allah for it, the munificent bestower, and she becomes one of those who are grateful, obedient, and successful. So if something good happens to you and you praise Allah and you thank Allah for it, then you are grateful, you are obedient, and you, inshallah, will be successful. But if something bad happens to you and you face it with patience and fortitude, so you also will become one of those who are patient, redeemed, and victorious. So, like we said, in both instances, you only win. So, as a Muslim, but the thing is, you know, not only when you are when you receive good or when anything good happens to you, that you think of Allah and you thank Allah, but even if things are bad, you know, anything bad happens to you, if you are in difficulties of some kind or the other, but you know, you still trust in Allah, and you know that no matter what is happening to me right now, Allah will make it easy for me. Allah will reward you for it. So just no matter how difficult the situation is, always remember, as Muslim women, we should accept Allah's decree and His will, inshallah. Now, with this deep faith, the Muslim woman faces the upheavals and calamities of life with a calm soul that accepts the will and decree of Allah. So you just calmly accept whatever happens to you. You know, many a times things are so difficult for you, but if you can accept it and believe that Allah, it comes from Allah, inshallah, Allah will certainly reward you for it. You should seek help with patience and prayer and hope for reward from Him. And she, a Muslim woman, should always voice her praise to Allah for what He has willed and He had decreed. There are a few examples that I would like to share with you again. Al-Khansa, on the day when she heard the news about her four sons, that all four her sons were martyred, she said, "Praise be to Allah who has honored me by their martyrdom. I hope that Allah will gather me with them under His mercy." So she praised Allah for honoring her by having her sons martyred. So no matter how difficult it is, you know, many a time so many of our women lose their young sons, mothers definitely, parents of course, everybody, but in this case we're talking about women only. But if a mother loses her son or her daughter, a young child, a baby, maybe just an unborn baby, can you imagine how much of hurt and pain they go through? But if you can accept it and know that it is from Allah, certainly Allah will make it easy for you and He will certainly reward you for that. Then, and now in the same way, Khansa lost four of her sons. But what did she do? She praised Allah for honoring her by martyring her son, by having her sons martyred. And she also made dua that Allah makes her join them, inshallah, one day. And then Asma bint Umays, you know, she used to go to the places where she usually prayed, and she used to seek Allah's help with prayers and patience when disaster and tragedy struck her one after the other. Now, she lost her first husband, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Then she was stricken by the death of her second husband, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and of her son, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So she lost three very important people in her life, her first husband, her second husband, and a son. And Allah obviously rewarded her for her patience. Now, there are so many other examples in history of Muslim women who had so much of faith and, of course, hoping for reward from Allah and facing difficulties with patience and fortitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly reward them greatly, inshallah. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 39, verse 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'uzu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Those who patiently persevere will truly receive a reward without measure." Now, if we just think of all the people, all our Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world that are going through so much of difficulties right now, may Allah, you know, grant patience and perseverance to all our Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world that are facing so many difficulties and hardships and even death at the hands of the oppressors. May Allah Ta'ala reward these, you know, these men and women out there greatly, inshallah. Okay, now also, a Muslim woman should always remember to turn to Allah in repentance all the time. Now, why you need to do this is sometimes Muslim women may find themselves becoming a bit neglectful. And, you know, we sometimes tend to slip from the straight path. But She may fall short in her practice of Islam in a way that does not befit the believing woman, but she will soon notice her error, seek forgiveness for her mistakes or shortcomings, and of course turn, or rather return to the protection of Allah. So, you know, sometimes, you know, things go so out of hand and we start going off the track a little. But this should never, never stop us from getting back onto the right track again. So no matter, you know, what situation you are in, always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, most forgiving. So if you're a little off the track now and again, and you know, don't continue that way and think, ah, I'm off it now, nothing's going to help me. So many of our children out there are doing so many wrong things. Not our children only, but so many of our adults out there too are doing the wrong things, are on the wrong path. But please remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He's so merciful and so forgiving. All we need to do is to ask Allah to guide us. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the right path. Inshallah, Allah will accept our duas and He will forgive us for the wrong that we have done. And inshallah, we can get back on the right path again. In the Quran, in chapter 7, verse 201, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, those who fear Allah, when a thought of evil from shaitan assaults them, bring Allah to remembrance. When lo, they see aright. Inshallah, Allah will guide us back onto the right path again. So no matter what difficulty you are in, for example, you know, many people, many of our youngsters feel that, you know, they are, especially nowadays, we hear it so often, that they are so off the track completely, especially with drugs and alcohol and all that is concerned. But please, you know, we shouldn't give up on our children. We should try our best, though, to get them back onto the right path. And, of course, if we can just get them to themselves ask Allah to forgive them and guide them on the right path, inshallah, it will work. Now, the heart that is filled with love and fear of Allah will not be overcome by negligence. It is those who ignore Allah's commands and guidance, Allah, those will be led astray. So if you ignore it, if you ignore Allah's commands, then unfortunately for those there is no guidance, and you will certainly then be led astray by shaitan. The heart of a sincere Muslim, rather a Muslim woman, is ever eager to repent and seek forgiveness, and rejoices in obedience, guidance, and the pleasure of Allah. So please remember, Allah is so merciful, Allah is so forgiving. All we need to do is lift our hands and ask Allah to guide us and to forgive us for the wrong that we have done. And inshallah, most certainly, Allah will forgive us and inshallah, get us back onto the right track and, you know, make it easy for all of us. But the important thing is for us to remember to be obedient and, of course, to trust in Allah, inshallah, and to be good Muslims. Well, listeners, that's it for the Ideal Muslimah. And inshallah, when we return, we'll be speaking to Mulana Muhammad Vinka from KwaZulu-Natal. And our topic, once again, is the importance of family ties. A reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns with regards to this topic, please feel free. Even some comments would be appreciated. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your sister Zinat. My guest is Mulana Muhammad Vinka from KwaZulu-Natal. And our discussion today is the importance of family ties. Now, assalamu alaikum, Mulana, jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu fikum, jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity.
Alhamdulillah. Now, Islam has placed tremendous emphasis on the establishment, the maintenance, and the preservation of family kinship. And of course, there are various Quranic verses and hadith that instruct Muslims to be kind, to be merciful, to be affectionate, and of course to be caring towards parents and relatives. Now, we're going to be discussing a very important topic today, the importance of family ties, Maulana. Why is family ties so important?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected listeners, we begin by praising Allah تبارك وتعالى. We send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his honorable companions, his household, and those who follow him. Indeed, the topic of preserving family ties, this is a topic which is so vital. It is so important. When we study the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in various places in the Quran, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about the importance of maintaining, keeping family ties, wa atidha al-qurba haqqahu wa miskina wa ibn al-sabil, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about the orphan, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the destitute, but Allah Ta'ala highlights the importance of maintaining family ties. And unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, when we look at the society that we are living in, unfortunately this particular tenet of deen has become void in the ummah. What tends to happen from a practical point of view, when there are elderly people around, and we all, people say this, that old people keep the family together. Once old people go, then the family automatically fragments. And normally what happens is that when the old person passes away, then the issue of inheritance comes into play. And then children, start fighting over the inheritance of the father, over the inheritance of the late mother that has passed on. And, brothers don't speak one another. We know of so many cases, Allah Ta'ala protect us, where brothers and sisters are sitting in court. There's so many families that we know of. Because as a result of money, they have broken up family ties. Brothers don't speak to one another. Brother cannot see eye to eye with his own sister, uncles and nephews and nieces, etc. So this is something which is so important, to maintain family ties. And more than often in my humble, experience, what we have seen, more than often, it is as a result of money that we cut up ties, with our family.
Yeah. Well, this is, like you said, so often it's such a common factor. We'll inshallah be talking about other factors as well that, that actually serve as family ties. But, why is it so important for every Muslim to educate themselves regarding this very important obligation with regards to, kindness to family and, of course, also maintaining bonds of kinship?
When we look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are so many, multitudes of ahadith where the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about this important tenet. Just one hadith I want to share with you, and perhaps we can maybe unpack and elaborate on this particular hadith, where the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the one who severs family ties will not enter Jannah. The one who severs family ties will not enter Jannah. Now, when we reflect over this particular statement of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to ask ourselves the question, how many of us are guilty of severing family ties? And ask ourselves the question, why are we doing it? Why do we sever family ties? And, I think we will definitely come to the conclusion that it is because of, the mundane things of this world, more than often, like I mentioned earlier on, as a result of money, he inherited more than me, or, there's something that he's keeping away from me, etc. Let not money come in between us. Unfortunately, this is something that has created, so many problems in so many families. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one, who breaks family ties, such a person will not enter Jannah. In one narration, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who joins family ties, it is as though you join ties with Allah. The one who breaks family ties, Allah will break away from that particular person. And we are not speaking about this dunya. This dunya is so short. We are living in a, this dunya is so short, perhaps 60, 70, 80 years, maybe 40 years. Allah alone knows. But the everlasting, journey towards akhirah, ultimately this is what we need to think about and reflect from a zuhdiha anin nar wa udkhila al jannata faqad faz, that we need to ultimately enter into Jannah. How will we face Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, knowing very well that we have severe ties, you know, with our own family members? And I think this is something in this day and age, you know, it is something which is so important. And how many families that we know of, you know, how many people say that, Maulana, you know, my brother on the day of Eid, he comes to greet me, the day after Eid, you know, he doesn't want to see my face. You know, so, you know, we need to learn to forgive. Whatever the differences are, let us maintain those family ties. You know, this is something, and the elderly people, you know, this was the exclusive trait in, you know, when we look at elderly people, they kept the family together, no matter what the differences, you know, where at that time, but families stayed together, you know, they used to get together. Unfortunately, this is something which is lacking in our community. So today we have bigger houses, but smaller families, higher incomes, less morals, more bigger houses, but more broken homes. That's the sad reality of our technological advancement. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in various ahadith, he exhorted the Sahaba that ensure, Nabi alayhi salam was sitting, you know, on Hajj. And when we study the lives of many of the Sahaba, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for example, when he used to make a collective dua, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to make a collective dua, they used to make an announcement that any person who has severe family ties, kindly get up and move out of this gathering, because Allah's mercy will not descend upon that gathering, upon those who severe family ties. So they have taken it to that extent. In fact, there was one Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, when this announcement was made, you know, he got up, he left the gathering, and then he comes back. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that what's the reason for that. He said, I had an aunt. This was on the journey of Hajj. He said, I went to her and I asked her for forgiveness. She asked me for forgiveness. That is when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in a gathering, and this was the practice of the noble Sahaba, that before they engaged in any congregational dua, any congregational ibadat, you know, they made this announcement, any person who has cut off family ties, you know, move out of this gathering, otherwise you are keeping the mercy of Allah at bay. So move out, let us attract the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, this is something that we should think about, because many times, you know, we wonder why our du'as are not getting accepted. And I think we should just introspect a little and realize, you know, do we have people that are family that we don't care about or don't love anymore? So it makes it important for us to realize that. Anyway, Maulana, we were talking about inheritance as one of the factors that contributes to family breakup. There's some other ones also, you know, in a marriage breakdown. If a marriage breakdowns, you know, how does this affect family unity then?
Yes, we find often what tends to happen is that when, you know, the boy gets married to his own cousin, the girl gets married to her own cousin, and then the marriage doesn't work, you know, the marriage breaks up. And then we find that both in one family, one brother is at loggerheads with the other brother. You know, one brother's son got married to his brother's daughter. You know, his son got married to his own brother's daughter. Now, husband and wife had some issue, cousins. Now, the entire family breaks up. Unfortunately, this has happened in so many families. You know, let us isolate the problem, and let us not, you know, let us take this problem to a macro level. You know, if there is an issue, the marriage never worked out, and there are so many cases that we know about, you know, where the boy gets married to his own cousin, and then the marriage doesn't work out, things turn sour, and the entire family breaks. Brothers are not speaking to brothers. The brother is not speaking to his own sister. I think that is one aspect. And the other aspect that comes to mind, which is something which is very, very important, is that when we look at our children, you know, I'm saying our children, do they know who are their close relatives? You know, sometimes you're sitting in a function, you ask a young boy, you know who this uncle is? Oh, I don't know who he is. You know, that uncle, that elderly man is this child's, you know, uncle. Yet he does not know who his own uncle is, or perhaps his uncle's cousin, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, what a Nabi Allah has given us. Subhanallah, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, one day he was moving, you know, they were traveling, and they came to a certain place, and there was one Bedouin. So he calls this Bedouin. And, you know, he made him sit on his conveyance, on his camel. He took out his turban, placed it on the head of the Bedouin. So the person who was with him asked him that, you know, this is an ordinary, simple man. why are you affording him such privilege and such comfort? He's an ordinary, simple man. He said that, no, anna abahu kana wuddan li Umar. Not this man, but this man's late father and my late father were good friends. So Nabi alayhi salam had asked us to maintain ties, you know, with the friends of our parents. If that is the injunction of the Nabi of Allah, if that is the teaching of Islam, where as a child you need to maintain ties, you know, with the friends of your parents, all the more reason, you know, your father's family, your mother's family, you know, we need to maintain ties. And sometimes, unfortunately, this happens. As mothers, sometimes as parents, we use our children as pawns, that we cut them away from the husband family. Or sometimes, you know, as fathers, you know, we cut our children away, you know, from the mother's side of the family. So that bichara child, that child who's growing up, that child does not know who the mother's uncle is, or that child does not know who the father's auntie is, why we are using our children as pawns in the middle. And this is something which, you know, on the day of Eid, you know, one of the traits of the day of Eid is the families get together, you know, the families get together, they introduce themselves to one another. Of course, we should not be violating the laws of hijab, etc. This is something which is so important, but for our children to know who their close relatives are and to maintain the ties. I mean, ask ourselves the question, how often do we, you know, close relatives, how often do we speak to them? Maybe once a year, that too on the day of Eid, perhaps twice a year, sometimes, you know, maybe once in 5 years, you know, some of us have relatives, close relatives, we haven't spoken to them for years on end. So, you know, this is something which is so important, especially in this day and age, where people are living individual lives, people are caught up in their own stress, in their own lives, that we have forgotten this important component of this beautiful deen.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I know, I remember as children, you know, whenever our parents used to visit, we all had to get together, all go around together. And these days, you'll find parents visiting, but the children are at home or probably, you know, doing their own thing. And I think this is where problems also arise, where family is concerned, that our children don't even know sometimes who their uncles and their immediate uncles and aunts are and their immediate cousins are. Mulana, also another major contributor to family problems and disunity is business upheavals. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I think this is something, you know, very, very important also. And this tends to happen. I think, like I mentioned earlier on, you know, we spoke about marriage when, you know, the boy and girl are married in the same family. You know, it creates a lot of tension. Similarly, when it comes to business, and this has happened in so many families, where there is, you know, few family members involved in the same business and things, you know, turn sour, then the entire family fragments. You know, I mean that you'll ensure, you'll tell your own wife, make sure you don't speak to my brother's wife. Or you will tell your wife, don't make sure you don't speak to this person. We know of cases where people do not speak to their own parents, you know, because of some business deal that went sour. You know, father and son are in the business, you know, things never worked out. Now the father cuts himself away, you know, from his own son. The son cuts himself away from the own father. So your own children, you know, have cut off ties from their own grandparents. So this is what takes away barakah. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, subhanallah, he said, if you want barakah in your life, and everyone is searching and looking for barakah today, you know, there are various forms. One is to give charity, one is to make dua, but a very important aspect that Islam teaches us, when we study the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah teaches us that maintain family ties. Allah will give you barakah. Allah will lengthen your lifespan. You know, what is meant by this? It doesn't mean that if 70 years was written for you, you're going to live for 120 years, although some ulama have mentioned that your lifespan will be increased. But more than often, the ulama have explained this to me, you know, that if a person has 70 years, in that 70 years, you will achieve so much more. You will achieve so much of barakah in that 70 years. When we study the lives of our pious Salafus Sadiqeen, many of them had short lives, but wallahi, they all had meaningful lives. Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, he passed away in his 40s. What he achieved in 40 years, I doubt you and I will achieve in 400 years. You know, it was the small things. It is the small things that takes a person a long way in life.
Okay, I know there's another one that I want you to just elaborate a little about, Mulana. These are two major qualities that actually can wreak havoc and burn and destroy, you know, your family. That is suspicion and gossip.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the Quran speaks about, you know, about being suspicious, you know, over someone. And I think this throws into perspective how often haven't we heard, you know, when a person is going through some, you know, he assumes it's some medical problem, he goes through all the tests, you know, doctors say, you know what, I cannot identify the problem, we cannot locate the, what the fault is. So what we then do, and this is a reality, we start going, you know, to some of these individuals. We're not saying all of them are frauds, but many of them, unfortunately, are there, you know, to break up families. You know, and this person tells you that, you know what, your brother's wife did something to you. We know of cases where people have been to these individuals, you know, and many of them have told them that your own mother did something to you, or your mother-in-law had done something to you. So what happens? You break off ties with your own parents. You break off ties with your in-laws. You break off ties with your close family members. So, you know, as a result of, you know, perhaps some sickness, don't attribute it. I mean, this suspicion you have that maybe my mother-in-law did something to me. And, you know, like they say in Gujarati, once you have that wehem, you know, you get that doubt in your mind, it settles in your heart, it's very difficult to remove. I mean, anything happens, you get a headache, my mother-in-law did something to me. You know, something doesn't happen, your child, you know, gets a little sick, you know, maybe, you know, somebody in the family did something. And we start creating these doubts and these suspicions. And when we analyze the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the commentators of Quran Kareem have mentioned under the aspect of suspicion, where you start, you come to a point, you reach a point in your life where you start doubting yourself. That you do certain things and you start doubting yourself. So let alone doubting others, you'll start doubting your own self. So this is all the infiltration of shaitan. This is the infiltration of, you know, of the devil. So we need to, I think, rid our lives. And we look at so many people, alhamdulillah, in the outward lives, they've got deen in their lives in terms of salah, in terms of the sunnah. You know, we go within their homes, subhanallah, in their homes. You know, there's so much of, you can find an ambiance of spirituality. But when we go into that person's personal life, you know, we find he has cut off ties with his own, you know, with his own family members. So we need to, I think, adopt a very cautious approach. You know, one is our spirituality, our link with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is fundamental, it is important, and, you know, it keeps us on track. You know, when we perform our salah, our tilawat of Quran, our dhikr of Allah, the wazifas that we normally read on a daily basis, but coupled with that, very, very important, you know, we need to ensure that we, you know, we look carefully at this particular tenet of, and that is maintaining family ties. You know, those that are, you know, family members, you know, how, you know, to, what will it cost us? I mean, today we're living in an era of technology. Unlike the years gone by, you know, perhaps 40, 50 years ago, there were no cell phones and, you know, to send a letter, it took a few days. I mean, today in a touch of a button, you know, what will it cost you just to, you know, send a message, a courteous message, that, you know what, how are you keeping, you know, I believe your son is not doing too good, you know, I cannot visit, but I'm making dua. So this is what, you know, this is the beauty of Islam. And today especially, we can use technology, you know, they call the cell phone a hell phone. So inshallah, we can use the cell phone, you know, constructively as well. At least we can accrue some reward, you know, we can earn some reward. You know, you act of nobility, send someone some dua, you know, some family member, you will get the reward of preserving family ties.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. So, obviously, unity is very important in family, you know, keeping the family together, alhamdulillah. So how can we actually, I know one you mentioned now, the cell phone, but are there other ways of us maintaining family unity?
Yes, I think one is, I think the other very important aspect also that we can if we extend the meaning of what we are speaking about, that many of us have lost family members. And, you know, we forget about them. I met one brother the other day, subhanallah. You know, this brother told me that every person, you know, from the time he was 20 years of age, every family member of his that passed away, he noted it down. Today he must be perhaps about 50 years of age. He said every family member that had passed away, he makes it a point at least once a week, you know, to take the names individually and make dua for them. You know, to take the names and make dua for them. Subhanallah. And we found this, you know, we've seen this with so many people, that a person who has the habit of maintaining family ties, we find Allah protects that person to such, Allah blesses this person in every aspect. And Allah blesses them with an enviable death. So like we mentioned earlier on, you know, to maintain ties, you know, a courtesy phone call, maybe not even a phone call, just an SMS, how you're keeping, or perhaps a WhatsApp message, or maybe an email, occasionally, to go and visit. And yet again, we find that not to impose on the person, because today we find it difficult, if the husband calls, some relatives home without informing the wife. I mean, gone are the days where the husband had the free rein. You can bring home whoever you want. I'm no way suggesting that that is the ideal thing to do. We find gone are the days where the husband was in a masjid, and mashallah, I met one brother the other day, and he told me that, Monana, when my late father was alive, when we used to sit down for meals, if there was no person, out from outside the house on the table, he would never allow the wife to dish out the food. So, this was the good old days. And unfortunately, we find that many of these qualities, have left our lives now. So, to impose on someone, of course, you don't want to visit someone, knowing very well that that's the time for lunch, that's the time for dinner. So maybe early afternoon, after lunch, perhaps about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, just pay them a courtesy visit, just sit there, perhaps have a glass of water, subhanallah. And, this is something that fosters, it brings about that muhabbah. It brings about that muhabbah. At least how many times, you meet your relative, and, when we travel extensively, you travel to some countries of the world, and you meet some people and you realize that that person is my close family member, yet I've never met the man in my life. You have to travel the length and the breadth of the globe to meet your own relative. So to a courtesy phone call, a courtesy visit, of course not to impose on the family, this is something that we all should try, inshallah, and teach this to our children. Often it happens, as the father and mother, you're going to visit some family, you call your children, no, I'm too busy, y'all go. I don't want to go to Kala's house. I don't want to go to your auntie's house. She's your auntie, not my auntie. So many of our children do that. So we need to ensure that we take them, that this is who you are. When I am gone, this is my auntie. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? That when your mother passes away, your mother's sister, she takes the place of your mother.
Yeah.
So, this is something which is so important. So we need to ensure that, our children, they maintain ties with their mother's family, they maintain ties with their father's family. So, if there's some tragedy, we know there are so many families, where the father passes away, or rather the mother passes away tragically, and it becomes a little difficult for the father. There's no mother at home, and the child, had no contact with the mother's family nor the father's family. The child goes into a state of depression. The child experiences psychological issues. So we need to look at the bigger picture. But in the end of the day, Islam, subhanAllah, when we look at the beauty of Islam, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us this formula. He has given us the recipe. He has taken it. Every aspect of our lives has been unpacked and presented to us in the most amazing way by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah. Well, and I know there's a few more little things that we can always do. They seem little, but I think they are so important to teach our children to continuously greet each other, to make salam to each other, and assist family members first. We always tend to end up assisting other people, but it's more important for us to look at our own family first.
Oh, yes. I think this is something which is so important. Like they say in English, charity starts at home.
Mm.
So here we're giving, the whole world charity. We're helping this one and that one. My friends, who's not even related to me, I will make sure that he lives a comfortable life. But in my family, my own auntie is going through difficulty. How many times, personally, people phone to ask, Molana, what my auntie is going through a bit of difficulty, can I give a zakat? So you ask the man, that is your own mother's sister. That is your own father's sister. How can you give zakat to such a person? Whether technically, from a masla point of view, it is totally permissible. To give some family member, but this is your own family. Give them from the best of that which you have. Somebody might argue, there's nothing wrong, I can give them zakat. Yes, absolutely permissible. Charity starts off at home. What charity we are speaking about? We are speaking about give them from the best of your wealth. Allah has blessed you. If your brother's child has some ability, to send him to school, to educate him, why we need to start off at home? Look within our own family. Allah has given us some of us so much of wealth. And on the other hand, we don't need to go and look at in our locality, in our own family, my own brother, my own sister, are they going through difficulty? Have we ever bothered to find out, phone your brother, phone your sister, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that I can do for you? And, the reward is so much greater. You take Allah has blessed him with wealth. Allah has blessed him with certain abilities in this world. Allah will direct certain people who are the closest to you to you. If you will capitalize on that opportunity, and if you will aid them, you know, from the plight, the situation, the difficulties that they are going through, Allah will multiply what He has given you. So these are opportunities that we have, every one of us. We know of some family members who are going through some difficulty. You know, the person is living in a rented home. If Allah has given you the means, you know, how much you're owing? I'm owing 200,000-300,000 rands. You know, settle the man's bond and let him live in a freehold home. The person is walking to work, taking a taxi to work. Allah has given you the means. What will it cost you? I mean, it will not interfere in your basic day-to-day activities. And yet again, how many people don't we know of? Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala grant, you know, many of the women of this ummah hidayat. One brother told me some time ago, he said that, Mawlana, you know, I support my sister, I support my auntie, I support some family members, and my wife forever has an issue with it. But I said, my brother, are you depriving us? No, I'm not depriving, I'm giving her everything. She lives in the best, she drives the best, she wears the best, she travels to the best. But why are you giving your auntie, why are you giving your cousin? You'd rather give it to me. So my brothers, my message to you is, it's not a matter of consulting with your wife, whether you can, if it's your family member, if Allah has given you the means, by all means, we need to help them, inshallah. I mean, take the du'as. We are asking this man and that man, when he's a big wali of Allah, a big buzruq, a big scholar and alim, we're going to the person, asking him, requesting him. This is something which we should do. You know, make du'a for me, make du'a for my family. But Allah has given us these opportunities. You know, someone in my own family, my auntie, perhaps my cousin, is going through some difficulty, some financial strain, some financial difficulty. The person is in debt. Just settle the debt of the person. Take the du'as of your family members, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallahu khair, Mawlana, for a very interesting program once again. May Allah Ta'ala, you know, guide us all to be, you know, more caring towards our family, more loving towards our family, and keep that muhabbat in our family always, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallahu khairan. We ask Allah to grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe, you know, these beautiful advices. Really, this is a very vast topic, and there are so many ahadith, come to mind. And perhaps we could maybe continue this topic on some other occasion, especially in this day and age where we are living in a fragmented society, you know, fragmented families. The children don't know who their own cousins are, they don't know who their own uncles, who their own aunts are. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability, inshallah, that we can, you know, take to heart and make inshallah some positive changes in our families.
Inshallah. Jazakallahu khair, Mawlana. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.